Yeah, back in Los Angeles, where my staff is just so excited to see me. I just got hit in the head with a tomato from one of them. I don't know who threw it. Back in a moment, we'll take your phone calls now. Doug Elway. I almost said John Elway is our guest. Now it's Doug Elwell. He's our guest right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to take your phone calls this hour with our special guest, Doug Elwell, right here on Coast to Coast. Doug, what's your next book? I'm sure there's one in the works.
I was thinking about doing either Giants or maybe another travel guide to, say, New Zealand and Australia.
Giants could get you back on the program.
Yeah, it would. It's so popular, I can't imagine us not doing it. Hey, can I give out our phone number?
Yes, you sure can.
Okay, if you want to order directly from the distributor, you can call 1-800-247-6553. Or go to ireland.mysteriousworld.com and click on the big book. You can mention our keyword COAST, COAST, to get a 5% discount.
All right. And, of course, links there at coasttocoastam.com for people who haven't written down your website address. How about the number one more time, Doug?
1-800-247-6553.
It's a neat book, and it's very colorful, too. This must have cost a small fortune. You know, my book just came out, and it's not in full color at all. It's not in color at all other than the cover. This must have been expensive to publish.
Yeah, it's a top quality paper. We pretty much pulled out all the stops because I wanted to make something that really stood out and was really exceptional.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's pick it up, first of all, east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with Doug Elwell. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Robin.
Hello.
Hi, this is not Robin I know. This is not the Robin that, this is not Richard C. Hoagland's Robin, is it?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I had a comment on the fairy thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I taught my kids how to believe in the fairies. And it was like, he was saying like they were neither good or neither bad. Kind of like people, you know?
Yeah, they're a lot like people. They have the same kind of personalities and struggles like people do. They're just kind of in between.
Yeah.
That's how they're described.
Why did you teach your children to appreciate fairies?
Because they are just what they are. You know, they're not here to, well, except for the tooth fairy thing, you know, we went through that. Yeah, my kid, my youngest one, he said, oh, yes, Mama, I know I believe in them. Because I heard her say, ouch. Stepped on his heart with his little cars. But I don't know. To me, they're nature. I'm more into, like, the nature religions. And
sound like a classic Celt. Are you Irish or Scottish?
Irish.
You're Irish?
Mm-hmm. Irish and Native American.
You came from that background. It makes perfect sense.
So you're a believer in leprechauns, fairies?
Yeah. In fact, I think I've seen some, you know.
What do you mean you've seen some? Hold on now. Tell us about this.
Well, it was just some, like, really small, not like small people. It's just something, the way they look. Now, I have a daughter-in-law who says that my son, one follows him around.
Can,
fairy. I don't know.
Can she see it?
I guess she can see it. Or she senses it.
I'd love to see a picture of this. Doug, has anybody ever, and thanks for the call, has anybody ever sent you a picture of a leprechaun?
No, that's one thing nobody seems to have. There was a kind of a legend of a leprechaun named Sean Ogg, who's allegedly had escaped from a local bar, I think it was County Cork, but you know, the local tavern keeper liked to hunt leprechauns in the nearby mountains. But nobody's actually seen him. I don't have a picture. All they have left is his little outfit and his little shoes that are left behind.
How about a reward for anybody who can take an authentic picture of a leprechaun?
They're actually offering, I think it was a 10,000 pound reward for a safe return. So if you ever find Sean Ogg anywhere, the leprechaun, please let us know.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
It is Jeff from Springfield.
And that's Missouri. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the trouble times and everything, well, you know, when he was talking about the prophecy. Hi, Doug.
Hey.
Have you ever tied in Nostradamus with biblical prophecy?
I've read a bit of Nostradamus and heard it, but I haven't really studied it a lot. He talks about the three antichrists and things like that.
Now, we have a past guest, John. His name is Jeff. His name is John Hoag.
Yeah.
And he ties in Nostradamus with the prophecy. Mm-hmm. And he does a good job doing that.
What, did you have a specific question?
Yes, the question is, in Nostradamus, he talks, beware of the man in the blue turban. I take that as the UN. Is that the way you...
It's a good point. I do, too.
UN hasn't had a really good batting record, batting average recently, so who knows?
And I find it interesting they're going to be appointing a new leader of the UN here soon, too, right about the same time all this is starting to shift.
Could be a South Korean, too. There's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Big things happening.
That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. You're just talking about that might, they talk of the youth, this man in the blue turban is supposed to be part of the Antichrist force.
Huh. What did he was a leader or
the
prophet?
Leader. Yep. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what Nostradamus was talking about in some of his quatrains.
Do you think, Doug, the Antichrist is already here on this planet, already born?
If we are near the end times, he would have to be born already, yeah. It wouldn't be like Damien Omen where, maybe it was. But he's not going to pop up out of nowhere. He's going to be probably...
That's true. Damien was the Antichrist, right?
Right. He was believed to be the incarnation of Satan. Most of that movie was just make-believe, but there were some essential facts about, just a kind of a speculation on what he would be like if he was when he was a young boy. But how he actually turned out, who knows?
Wild card.
He probably is.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I had a question for your guest. He was speaking earlier about Magog and what it meant.
Yeah.
And the historical aspect to it. I was wondering if you knew and what comments you'd have about George Bush the Elder, 41, who is known to have chosen Magog as his nickname in the Skull and Bones Society, Secret Society.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I have heard that, but it might have significance. Who knows? He was in the Central Asian desk of the CIA for a while, I think. So that might be why he picked up that name, because, that's the old tribal land of Magog. But who knows? It might have significance.
What does Magog mean? Isn't it the one that rebels against God?
Magog is the second son of Japheth, the son of Noah. His ancestors live in Central Asia and the Ukraine. And some of them migrated west, as far west as Ireland, and also southern Italy and southern France. And some of them remained and became the Russians. So the Magog and the Gog and Magog War of Ezekiel 38 to 39 is primarily a Russian and Central Asian force combined with Arabs and other allies. That's what it's talking about in prophecy.
And do they rebel against God in Ezekiel? Or
The rebel was a Nimrod. That's a little bit different. Nimrod was a giant who lived sometime after the flood, may have lived around 3000, 2000 BC, or AD. Yeah, actually, it was BC. But Magog also rebelled. From Magog and Gog, or Gomer, came the giants of the world after the flood, I believe. Gomer and Magog, the two eldest sons of Japheth. Apparently, from them came the Rephaim giants. Part of the reason I believe that is the Scythians and the Gomerians, who were known as the Gomerians, were known as the Cimmerians later, as in Conan of Cimmeria. They frequently raided and plundered the Near East, including Persia and Syria, and as far south as modern Israel. So I think possibly the giants of the Bible were probably Cimmerians and or Scythians, descendants of Gomer and Magog.
It's what's kind of happening now, right, with the war in Iraq and possibly the war in Iran as well. So
the Gomerians and Magogians, basically the Russians and Germans and French, or possibly aided by the Germans, who knows. But definitely the Russians, they're just going to invade that region one more time like they did in ancient times. That's something they do occasionally. It just seems to be a cycle. Because Gog and Magog actually show up in Revelation 20 again after the 1,000-year period of Christ's millennial reign, at which time God regathers all the peoples to fight against, Satan gathers all the people to fight against Jerusalem one more time. That's proving he's irredeemable.
By the way, today the South Korean foreign minister was formally nominated to replace our friend there, Secretary General Kofi Annan. I shouldn't say our friend, because I don't think he's done a very good job at the UN at all. But Kofi's office expires on December 31st. So a South Korean will head up the United Nations. That's going to be an interesting twist to all of this.
Hopefully, South Korea has been a pretty good ally and very stable economically. So he's a good choice. I think he's probably mostly there because of us. Kofi was such a washout that he couldn't do much worse. He didn't do a whole lot of good, I don't think.
First time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
I'm from Newark, Delaware.
Sure thing.
I had a question. You had mentioned earlier different prophecies about 2012. Mm-hmm. I was kind of curious as to your thoughts on that, just a kind of general idea.
2012, like I said, I don't have a lot of information about it. Say Richard Hoagland and the people who spoke at that conference would be the best people to talk to about 2012. But I could say, generally speaking, that the Mayan calendar might be fairly accurate. I personally think that the end times are upon us. I think Jesus will probably return in the next 10 years, if not, say, about 7.5 years. But generally speaking, I think 2012, as far as being the end of a seven-year tribulation period, that's past now. That had to be 2005, unless Jesus returns in the sixth year, in which case it might still be possible. But, you know, it's not, since it's not the Bible, it's Mayan calendar, I can't really say because it's not part of my faith structure, but I could be wrong. It could be accurate. If you have questions about the end times, read the Bible. It's chock full of it. Read Revelation.
Yeah, but how do you interpret it, Douglas? How do people interpret the end times so it makes sense to them?
In my space, I felt that the Holy Spirit moved me to study it because I feel very strongly we're in that period when Jesus will be returning. I felt that way since I was a child. Basically, I started studying the book of Revelation when I was 12 years old. I determined in my heart to learn this book. So I've been studying it when I can, off and off throughout my life. And what you do, the technique you do is you basically put all the apocalyptic together, because all these prophets saw visions of the end time, but they expressed it in different ways. They didn't all see exactly the same thing. But the book of Revelation actually draws heavily on the imagery from the book of Daniel. In fact, the book of Daniel is very much the book of Revelation of the Old Testament, or what Christians call the Old Testament. So I'd recommend you first start with Daniel and then compare with Revelation. And there are parallel passages in Ezekiel and a lot of stuff in Isaiah. There are commentaries available that talk about prophecy and all the prophecies in the Bible specifically, which you can get in any Christian bookstore or order through any Christian bookstore, or check them out online. I think CBD.com, Christian booksellers, distributors, something like that, would have a very exhaustive list of Christian apocalyptic literature. There are other end times apocalyptic stuff from other traditions, like I mentioned the Hopi, too. But I would personally recommend the Christian, because I believe that's the real McCoy.
Well, and we'll continue to do full programs on 2012 end times Hopi prophecy as well. I'd like to get some more Hopi elders into the program. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, this is John from Bonnie Lake, state of Washington.
Yes, sir.
And correlating Daniel chapter 7 with Revelation chapter 13, we're talking about the same thing here, about how a beast would rise up with 10 horns, but out of that beast there would be a small horn that would also rise, and that small horn would become the prevalent horn that would receive a death blow but would recover from the death blow, and that it would go on to prevail with Satan's influence, of course, but it would be a lamb that through peaceable flatteries would deceive the whole world. Mm-hmm. And along with that, it would also be a lamb that had conquered three of the world leaders, which could be, if we were that land, we could be England, Italy, and Germany. Or it could be France, because we did have the Indian-French Wars through England, and we are the young lions out of the old lions of England. So my question is, do you think that the United States of America is in prophecy, which I believe very definitely that we are, and that not only that we are pronounced in prophecy, but that through us, that the Antichrist would actually make war upon the very saints of God and prevail against them for a 3.5-year time span?
I've been asked to not speak specifically about political situations, just, you know, some people are sensitive about that in my circle. But I will neither confirm nor deny that statement, let me put it that way.
That's an old military answer.
Do you believe in your heart that because the God speaks through parables, through his people. Now, last time I was on with Mr. Norrie, the Spirit of God through me entered in a parable, and he could not find a question in it. But, and I'm not speaking down to you, sir.
Go ahead, speak down to me.
Or to Mr. Norrie either. But whether or not that we have the mind of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, then we can have the gifts of the discernment and the knowledge of God so that we can verify these statements.
Mm.
And in my heart, I deeply believe that we are the nation that is going to be defiled. It is defiled, and it's defilement around the world.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts. Just go to mysteriousworld.com and click on the email link and send me whatever you have. I'd be interested in hearing it.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Good morning to you. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Dennis calling from Farmington, Missouri.
Hey, Dennis.
I'm interested in the end time prophecy show tonight. I was going to ask Doug if he's familiar with a hierarchy of demons that is spoken of in Ephesians.
I am familiar with it, yes.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on this, or okay, a specific question with it?
That's a very good question. I was meaning to cover that. Basically, we appear to have a kind of a hierarchy of fallen angels. It describes in the Book of Enoch, you have a series of angels.
Power structure?
It's a power structure. It's a bureaucracy. And the world is ordered after that bureaucracy. God's form of rule is actually very egalitarian and flat in structure. But the where you have areas where you have deep fallen angels in rule, which is really the entire earth, actually. It says in the Book of Enoch that the rule of the earth was divided up among the 200 fallen angels that came down with Azazel and Semyaza, the two leaders. And there's an interesting word study in the word Azazel, by the way.
Where does Satan fit into this?
Satan is probably Azazel, the leader.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Azazel is actually mentioned in the Book of Numbers as part of an ancient ritual. I think it was a Yom Kippur ritual of the Hebrews, an earlier one, where they sacrificed two goats. One was sacrificed to God, you know, killed on the altar, and its blood was smeared on the forehead of the other one in the form of a cross. And that other goat, which was called the scapegoat, which is where we get the term scapegoat, upon which the blame is placed, was then thrown off a cliff to Azazel, the demon of the wilderness. Thus it was called the Azazel goat. So I take it from that passage that the word Azazel appears in the Bible as a type of Satan. That it was probably Satan's real name. Azazel means God's great mighty power, God's military power, great strength. It has to do with the Hebrew word Az or Azaz, which is military power or strength. So one who was incarnated by the devil might be one who's very powerful militarily.
I got to tell you, Doug, now that more and more of these world events are beginning to unfold, I find that more and more people are very interested in end times prophecy. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you're interested in the After Dark newsletter, you get 14 issues for the price of 12. Take advantage of it. How do you order it? Well, you can go to www.coasttocoastam.com or call 1-727-5505. When we come right back, we'll check in with our guest, Doug Elway. We'll take the rest of your questions on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to take your final phone calls with our special guest tonight, Doug Elwell. Doug, of everything you've investigated, the creature mysteries, the end time mysteries, everything, is there one specific subject matter that really you just dive into, that you hunger for, that it's your passion?
If I said if there's one particular one, it would have to be apocalyptic. But as regarding Mysterious World, probably the giants. I think they're the most fascinating and interesting and important part of what we've studied, and by far the most popular. I'm amazed. I'm noticing also a lot of your callers are going right into the end time stuff.
Yes, they are.
It's amazing. Let's get right over the leprechauns and giants. It's all about end times.
End times affects all of us,
yeah,
especially if we're in it right now.
Yeah, with all the, what's going on, the political situation. People want to know what's going on. I think that's a good thing.
Okay, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air.
Hi, George. Hi, Doug.
Hey.
Hello. This is Nicholas calling from Montana.
Hey, Nicholas. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. At the end of the film, Kwanaskatsi came out about 25 years ago,
yeah.
George Lucas. At the very end of it, there's a Hopi prophecy where near the day of purification, cobwebs will be spun across the sky, and I think that kind of ties into chemtrails in a way.
Mm-hmm. They said cobwebs will be crossing the sky. A pot of ashes will be thrown onto the earth, which will burn the earth and boil the oceans. And if they also say if men dig minerals out of the earth, they invite disaster. And it sounds very much like nuclear weapons and, like you say, contrails or chemtrails. Possibly might refer to electrical wiring being crisscrossing the earth, you know, creating an electrical field which might not be healthy for us. Yeah, the Hopi had some interesting things to say. They've been around for a very long time, like thousands of years. They may have seen the last cataclysm. And like I said, their ancient religion has all this information about the previous ages, which speaks specifically about how mankind rebelled against God, a singular monotheistic God, believe it or not. And as a result, there came disaster. And so America is kind of flying headlong away from God and running towards materialism and very selfish behavior. And they're not going to last very long. God's going to give up, and they're going to be destroyed.
Yes, sir. Also, one other thing. I believe the tribulation started last year.
Really? What leads you to believe that?
As in the false covenant with Israel from the revived Roman Empire, which I believe kind of ties into the New World Order. It started last summer when they started kicking the settlers out of Gaza. And right after that, we had Katrina.
That's an interesting idea. Was it a seven-year covenant?
Yeah, and that it wasn't until I decided that was the case. That, you know, 7 years, it's 2012, too.
Yeah, but was it specifically a seven-year covenant? Because it says he made a treaty with many for 7 years. So it's probably been more prominent than that one. But you might be right. I don't know. I tend to think it'll be a more prominent treaty, though. Probably something to do with the UN.
Thanks for taking my call. Thank
you. Okay, I appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Robert out in Albuquerque.
Hey,
yeah, I'd love to see you do a book signing out here.
Yes, I think it's in the plans.
Oh, that would be awesome. You'd have a mob out there, let me tell you. But I have a question and a comment for Doug. The first question, Doug, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments that are carved in some sort of ancient Hebrew-Greek lexicon that was only recently discovered out here in New Mexico, about an hour southwest of Albuquerque?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you could probably Google it pretty easily, but just west of Los Lunas, New Mexico, there's a place called Hidden Mountain or Mystery Mountain where there's a set of Ten Commandments that, from my understanding, has only been recently translated in the past 20 years or so. But the Indians were well aware of it 100 years ago, and when they showed it to the white man, the first documented presentation of it was about 100 years ago to Europeans from the Indians. Hey, do you guys know what this says? So that's very interesting if that's that old, and it kind of...
I'll look that up. That might explain why the Hopi creation myth is so very similar to the Hebrew one. It has a monotheistic God in it. I thought that was interesting. Though it would answer a lot of things about why they're so similar.
Okay, great. And the other question here is, do you think possibly the Nephilim or the descendants of the, you know, the half-breeded descendants of the fallen ones are what we would call the Neanderthals? And maybe it's not necessarily that they were giants in physical size, but giants in their supernatural abilities, because our fossil records are just full of these humanoids that existed and all of a sudden just died.
Yeah, you're right. The fossil record is full of all different kinds of variations of mankind, almost as if someone was experimenting. Yeah, they just come and go immediately, no ramping up and no going down. The scientists who put forward evolution didn't do the homework very well, because Neanderthals were actually coexisting with humans for a long period of time.
Right, and that's been proven very recently, too.
Yeah. By mtDNA testing and other reasons. So, yeah, it seems to bear out the biblical record of fallen angels or what have you coming down and experimenting with mankind. And if you have a series of variations, it seems to fit perfectly with that kind of idea.
Yeah, and I only wonder when they're going to update our textbooks in schools, because we are not being we are not telling our children what the truth is of our world history.
Yeah, I think probably Jesus will return before that happens.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably the agenda of the Illuminati. I love you, George.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Ever look at that, Doug? I know you talk about mysteries. You talked about the Knights Templar. Mm-hmm. The Illuminati? The elitists on this planet?
Yeah. The let me mention briefly Nimrod, and that's really a complicated story to go into. It could take a while, but briefly, he was basically a return of the giants in the world after the flood. And I determined that there was probably a line of what were called Fisher Kings, also known as the Merovingians, that sprang forth from him, who were descended from him. And people, the royal lines of all nations, may hail back to Nimrod in some way or form or fashion. And the Illuminati are probably the most recent people to be part of that ancient tradition. And in the traditions, the Illuminati and the Freemasons carry are actually traditions that were taken from the builders of the Solomonic Temple, the Phoenicians. Hiram, who shows up frequently in their mythology, the Freemason mythology, was actually the man, the Phoenician man who built the Temple of Solomon. And that's why they call them Freemasons, partly because they keep these ancient traditions of not only Masonry, but of esoteric occult-type knowledge from very ancient times. And some people think they're working behind the scenes to reproduce the ancient times that were destroyed by God in the ancient world because they become so wicked.
Let's go to our next caller, first-time caller. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Arlene from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Arlene, thanks for calling. Go ahead, hon.
Uh-huh, thank you. I'm calling about the giants. Mm. In fact, the sea creatures.
Yeah.
In 1992, I was on a tour of northern Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our tour buses took us up to Loch Ness.
Okay.
And as we were going on the east side of Loch Ness, going north toward the exhibition center, I noticed, and this was daytime, and I noticed a large, round, black rock sticking up out of the loch, and it was several hundred feet into the loch. And that put a question in my mind. What is a rock doing sticking out of an 800-foot deep lake?
Was it sure it was a rock, or maybe it could have been a rock?
Well, I'm coming to what it was. So we went to the exhibition, and they had a little flat sort of creature there. When we were coming back, it was dusk. It was in October and quite cold, and it was dusk. But I am blessed with excellent nighttime vision. When we were down back to the southern shore of Loch Ness, as I was looking out the bus window, I said, oh, look, they've built a life-size statue of Nessie. It's standing there on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what I was looking at was about the size of my two-story house.
Oh, wow.
It had a head the size of a compact automobile. There were large white teeth the whole way back its head. And I said, oh, look, the children can ride down its tail. It had this small tail going down into the lock.
So you started playing on it and it started moving, huh?
It didn't move at all. Hmm. It was as still as a statue, so I assumed it was a statue.
Okay.
But
might be somebody put it there for a prank, but that's interesting.
No.
Did it move?
This was a big, solid creature. I mean, I thought it was a statue. It was standing there.
So it never moved while you were standing there?
No. Well, we were in a moving bus, and we were heading south. So, you know, there was only about maybe a minute that I was actually in view, clear view.
Hmm.
If it moved after we were gone. At any rate, as I thought about it, I thought, well, that big rock that was sticking out must have been whatever this creature is, because somebody told me that no one ever built a statue of Nessie on the south shore of Loch Ness.
Hmm.
And that's what convinced me I was seeing the real thing. When I went home, it looked like a dinosaur, the shape. So when I went home, I bought a book of dinosaurs, and what I saw looked just like a plesiosaur.
Hmm.
No difference at all from it.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure I'm one of the few, and I am of Scottish ancestry, of course.
Okay.
But I'm sure I'm one of the few people who had the opportunity to see Loch Ness's monster standing on the shore.
Hmm.
Most people see something coming up out of the water and assume it's the head of a serpent.
Yeah.
But what I saw was definitely not the head of a serpent. It was definitely a huge creature.
Did it scare you?
Oh, I would never have wanted to be out of that bus or near it. That thing was huge. Oh, no. If I'd been out walking around, I'd have been scared, let me tell you.
A friend of ours, Steve Alton, thinks that Nessie is a huge eel, and he goes around the region with this model head of what this eel would look like. The teeth must be about 4 inches long.
I've seen that, yeah. It's a very interesting mock-up. He thought it was a form of giant eel, which is interesting.
Possible. Because it's got that hump look, he said, as it goes through the water.
That would make sense, yeah. That's a definite possibility.
Wild card line, you're on the air with Doug Elwell. Hi there.
Hi, George and Doug. This is William in Las Vegas.
Hello, William.
Such a pleasure to talk with you both, especially about God's Word. The good news is that the days have been shortened, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9, from 3.5 years down to 5 months. The bad news is Satan de facto is coming, as it is written in Revelation chapter 13, and he will actually be able to perform satanic miracles and do wonders, as it's written in Revelation chapter 13 and 14. And what we have here is something that's going to be booted out of heaven by Michael the archangel, as it is written in Revelation also.
Do you think that Satan has been booted out already, or will be?
No, because when he comes, you know he's going to make a grand entrance, as Christ has already foretold in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. We also have Daniel chapter 8, Zechariah.
What does he actually say in those verses? What's the text, you know?
Pardon me?
Could you describe what he says specifically? To say, like, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, something like that?
Well, the name of the star is called Wormwood, as it is written in Revelation chapter 8, verse 11, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And it's really interesting to note that the word Wormwood, and I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard it from numerous sources.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl. And then the fourth angel sounds right after that. And then the fifth angel sounds in chapter 9. And, of course, Satan makes his entry at the sixth trump. So the true Christ comes at the seventh trump. And, of course, you know the relation between six and seven, mark of the beast being 666. Mm-hmm. The two olive trees mentioned in Revelation 11:4 also correspond with Zechariah. They are mentioned in Zechariah, the four horsemen also.
Yeah. And Zechariah's two trees show up in Revelation 11, too.
I've got to tell you, you know, and again, you mentioned how many people are interested in end times. It's absolutely staggering, Doug.
Yeah. You'll get all end times calls.
What's your take on that? Why?
Well, I think God has put it in mankind's heart to be aware of his presence. And I think the times, like you mentioned, are getting tense. And
you think, maybe they're scared?
Could it be real? And they want to know answers. And I like to say I have all the answers, but I'm kind of a seeker, too. But I try to help out people where I will, where I can. But, you know, like you said, I really do think we're near the end of this present age.
Well, we're almost near the end of the show, that's for sure. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Joey calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Joey.
And I just wanted to find out, is there any correlations or any stories of giants being in the Lost City of Atlantis?
Ever come across that in your research, Douglas?
The Atlanteans were actually titans. They were sons of Poseidon who married a human woman and had giant offspring. It's a classic story of the giants, a deity or a fallen angel. They're called gods by the Greek myths, but they would be considered a fallen angel by Christian theologians. Came down and married a mortal woman and had giant children, which were called titans. And they ruled over Poseidon, which was believed to be the same as Atlantis by, I think, most people. So the early Atlanteans who built their great civilization were probably giants, probably the most powerful giants of the world before the flood, because it's said that Atlantis in Plato's dialogues was the great power of the world at that time, and it was very near to defeating all opposition and conquering the entire world right before the flood came, which corresponds pretty well with the actual biblical text, which says there was, and the Enochian corollary, which says there was a great world war between the giants, God had set them in opposition to each other so they would destroy each other. I think you might be right. The Atlanteans were probably, at least their leadership, were probably giants.
If you had the ability to travel back into time, Doug, where would you go? What period?
I would start at the beginning and see everything in order.
You would?
Big Bang.
From the Big Bang. That's fascinating.
Because if I had to choose, I may choose the crucifixion or maybe the Exodus. Probably the Garden of Eden, because that would answer a lot of questions that would pretty much explain almost everything else in the Bible. The crucifixion is pretty easy to understand, with the Garden of Eden is a very deep mystery.
Would you bring your camera with you?
If they allowed photographs, I would, yeah.
And a tape recorder, so we could play it on the show when you come back. If you come back.
Next time I get in the time machine, I'll let you know.
Would you want to come back?
Yeah, I think I'd like to finish out my life as it is. It's a pretty good life. I don't think it'd be any better if it was back there.
Doug, we're almost out of time. Again, give us your toll-free phone number, if you would, for the publisher. Name of the book, again, is called Mysterious World, Ireland.
Mm-hmm. You can call 1-800-247-6553 and mention the word COAST to get a 5% discount. You can also go to ireland.mysteriousworld.com and click on the big book, and it'll take you to an e-commerce website. You can also type in the word COAST into the comments box to get your 5% discount. You can also pick it up at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or order it through a bookstore near you. It's available pretty much everywhere.
Very good. Doug, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Let me know when Giants gets finished, okay?
Not for another year, at least.
All right. Very good. And we're not talking about the New York Giants at all. At all. Well, we'll continue with Coast to Coast tomorrow, so make sure you're part of that program as well. For Steve Carr, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.